Swamiji, I wanted to do the Akhanda Karabhuti, but now I still want to go back to Ishwara, just for based on our earlier discussion.
Yeah.
And then do the Akhanda Karabhuti later. Swamiji, so many times, at least in the West, from students in the West, the understanding of Ishwara is often superimposed upon the Christian understanding of God, which is more of a kind of a, the good God, the benevolent, a good God, benevolent God, a God that rewards the good and punishes the bad. Mm. So that type of kind of an anthropomorphic attitude toward God is there. But when we look at Ishwara, it's not that there's a good Ishwara or a bad Ishwara. In fact, Ishwara contains so much destruction and pain also. So what is the relationship also that one... What does it mean to be devoted to Ishwara? Even when you say Ishaya Namaha, what am I prostrating to?
So it's a question of... There are two ways of looking at it. One is, I invoke Ishwara's grace. I understand Ishwara is a karma phala data. It is given to me to do. And because I have free will, I need not do also. I can do it differently also. An abuse also. And therefore, I am a karta. This is from the standpoint of the karta. I am the karta. I assume that I am the karta. So when I am the karta, then I have to make things happen. So I find in planning and executing, I find there are many hidden variables which I cannot control, because they are hidden. Even known variables we cannot control, and hidden variables I can never. So I want to have some kind of a force. Hidden variable means my own adrishta and others' adrishta also. I am interrelated. My gain is loss of somebody, and therefore can be a loss of somebody. So that means his karma also is there, my karma also is there. It's all a mess up. It's not a mix up, it's a mess up. And in this, it's a big network. We're all interrelated, everybody is affected by everybody's karma. And therefore, my own past karma can serve as a pradibandhaka, as an obstacle to me, to what I want. So I want to control that. To control that, and so I have to neutralize it. And it is adrishta. And therefore I create antibodies. Adrishta antibodies. And the adrishta antibodies are created by my prayer. And therefore when I say, Ishaya Namaha, I perform any ritual and all that, it's all to produce adrishta. So the more adrishta I have, more I can hope to neutralize the durita. It's not that we are definite. How much durita, we don't know. And how inimical it is, and how much the other fellow's durita. So many are involved in this. His punya, his papa. But I have to go by my own effort, by my will and effort. So I use my will to create a certain antibodies against durita. So this is one meaning for prayer. Looking at Ishwara as karma phala dasa. And then again, looking at Ishwara, even karmapala dhatrutvam implies only order. For my karma, my phala. its order, dispassionate order. That is what you call a vairagya, dispassionate order. And therefore for karma there is phala. In the long run, nobody is destroyed. In the long run, everybody gets liberated. But in the process, so one pays for whatever one did or one did not do, whatever. So this continues. So it's not a, we don't look at it as something God is angry or God is jealous and God becomes a kind of a sadist and he gives. So there is a reason for everything. If God goes on giving grace, on what basis he gives grace? To somebody he gives grace and somebody he doesn't give. I have to earn the grace. So if I earn the grace, then he is a karma phala. It's a graceful way of expression, grace. It is karma phala. So either previous karma, now karma, will karma phala. So if this is understood, including karma phala dhatrutvam, karma adhyakshatvam, all these are within the order of Ishvara. Therefore, I look at the whole thing as order. If it is order, then the superimposition is not that you first believe a being, you believe a being other than you, and that being is superimposed. Certain things are superimposed upon him, and you say he is very benevolent, and afterwards you have to justify if he is benevolent, why did he do this? Then you have to say, that is God's mystery. What is mystery? It is, for me it is not mystery. The destruction is real. This bhukampa, you know, this earthquake is very real. So many people die. And if the people want to die and then they die, then it's okay. God help them. But nobody wants to die. Everybody wants to live, otherwise they would have lived also. That is exactly what we think. And therefore, why they should all die? So the gods, what is this? Therefore, it is all nature, there is no God. This is one argument. There is no God or anything. Is God, if there is one, you would be little more considerate. He is inconsiderate. Therefore, telling God is love and all that is humble. That is cruel. And then God is love also because He cares, because He makes you hungry and then He provides you food. He makes you He makes you a breathing being and He provides the air outside. And you need oxygen and then therefore it's provided. That's why plants are made to send out oxygen and you send out carbon dioxide. They need that. Therefore God created with great intelligence and care and symbiotic live and live, helping each other. That's how He has made the world. He is benevolent also. And sometimes now and then He pinches you, and so this is also there. No affection, no father. The child is eternally afraid of somebody comes near, means the person is afraid. Why? Because father, as a child, he used to show his affection. And whenever he showed his affection, he will pinch. So one pinch. That is his affection. And therefore, oh, shakara putti. You say something, sweetie. One pinch. That is his affection. It looks God's affection is like this. It's all just poetry, some kind of a thing. But the truth is, all that is here is God, it is in the form of order. Then He is infallible. And therefore I try to understand the mystery can be only with me, not with God. In me, in my not understanding the bigger picture. I look at things from my own small little picture I have. And from that standpoint, everything is magnified. It becomes big. But from a bigger picture, what is going to happen, what had happened before, where this is happening, is all a cause-effect relationship is there, action-reaction is there, and therefore in the bigger picture, all is right. All is right. And there is no blemish. In the bigger picture, there is no blemish. Because you see the cause-effect relationship. And we need not see the cause-effect relationship if you understand there is a cause-effect relationship. That is the appreciation of order. And therefore you can't say God is kind and God is compassionate and God is loving and all that and so on. Because when you love, you require love, you require compassion. But you can say that. You can say that in a sense. In compassion, there is a certain freedom from being small. There is freedom from me. So, me alone important. The importance of me goes, the small me goes. And what rules is compassion. So, it accommodates others. And there omissions and commissions, my own omissions and commissions. I can accommodate myself and accommodate others in the ambit of compassion. So, that compassion reveals a certain wholeness. Therefore the Lord, we can say, in compassion there is Ishvara. In compassion there is the presence of Ishvara. Which is perfect, because the smallness, the alienated jiva, is no more alienated in compassion. The jiva is there as compassion is an emotion of jiva, and therefore jiva is there in compassion, but not alienated from the whole. And one who has a certain experience of wholeness or fullness, and there is compassion. And to compassion to come out, the window is empathy. So through the window of empathy, compassion comes out. Empathy is to pick up others' pain. So when you pick up others, then it evokes the compassion you reach out. Then first, that is the first response, reaching out is the first response. Then afterwards we have second response. That is, if I reach out, then others need to be compassionate with me, and because it is impractical, and I should not reach out. I curb myself, and I have a justifying philosophy, some pragmatism, all these things are there, then therefore I draw boundaries. Really. So for pragmatism's sake. But what compassion comes out through empathy. Because so both the persons, the other person who sues redress from you and you, both of them are within the order of Ishvara.
But Swamiji, we say that the jnani is maybe the daya, most compassionate. That's a...
Because of the smallness is not there.
Yes, but we would say that the jnani is compassionate, so that's compassion is something manifest, naturally manifest for a jnani.
Natural.
But the compassion, we can't say that Ishvara is compassionate. It's not compassion or not compassion. That doesn't even...
These words have got limitation.
Yeah.
They Once have you real say, problems, that's why actually. You have to say... Yeah. It is absolute daya.
But...
Because for us, there is a wholeness expressed in compassion. You say Ishvara is whole. That compassion also is within the order of Ishvara. and the compassion reveals wholeness. And the wholeness is Ishvara, and therefore, so it is wrong to say God is compassionate, God is loving. This is all wrong. Love is God, you can say. Compassion is God, you can say. God is compassionate, God is loving. This is all.
It makes for a terrible problem, actually.
Yeah, that's all our own judgment, how a God should be. We decide about God. And He is not loving, because sometimes He doesn't seem to be loving, and He seems to be cruel, therefore you will turn against God. Or you have to find out some justification. Some other justification, you have to give some arguments. So this, that's all human thinking, projecting upon God how He should be. He should be compassionate, He should be loving. I had an argument, a discussion with a very highly learned rabbi who is self-assured that he knows everything. I talked to him. And so he asked me, what is your concept of God? Now what to tell? And I have got only 3-5 minutes. What I'm going to tell? And whatever I told something, so then he said, our concept of God is different. And God participates in history or something like that.
Yeah.
He said, history itself is God. And for all that, I have got some, that is pantheism and all that. So it is pantheism, Parinamavada. But we have a transcendental aspect. So, the satyam mithya being there, vastu avastu, unless you talk about all this totally, you can't have a discussion. So it is my buffalo in the water. And I keep the buffalo in the water and I begin discussing about how much you will give or how much you should pay and all that.
When you talk about this order, you mean the natural laws or the man-made, like political orders or...
I mean, order means what I say, the natural laws, everything included. If you look at the world, different things are there, and you can categorically divide, like physical, what you study in physics, what you study in biology, what you study in physiology. So I take it as order, reference to my own life. These orders are there. So then there's nothing outside the order.
Swamiji, there was something you said earlier when we were discussing about there's needs a certain type of vairagya, a certain type of vairagya toward Ishvara that really brings about an objectivity, and then the compassion actually comes from the person who has that objectivity.
Yeah.
What was Swamiji saying there?
You see, in the srishti, everything is a manifestation of Ishvara. Emotion is a manifestation. An emotion has to be an individual head. Even dog has got an emotion. Cat has got emotion. Mosquitoes must be having their own emotions. And there must be something there. then you turn your hand, it runs away. You've got fear. And it will get, it wants to survive and therefore all have a mood. There, they're all, it's all manifestation. Mosquito psychology is there, the tiger psychology is there, lion psychology is there. And then dog psychology is there, that's why you can make the dog obey. Elephant also. Elephant psychology is there. Elephant has on its head some hair. They have some on the hair. Mastaka has got some hair. And it doesn't want to lose one hair. And therefore they have found out this psychology. Now they put a fence so big, and there they put something that will take away the hair. And if it goes, and then the hair will get involved. And therefore that size, it cannot bend and move, crawl and all. And therefore they like this one fence, big high fence, and then well, this hair will get involved. And they never try. So they don't come into the property. So the hair rising discovered. And so this is the elephant psychology. The elephant, she's really conscious about hair. So it has got seven of them. But so well, it has got some small bunch of hair, and there's nothing much, but it's very conscious about it. There must be something connected to it, something. So it's open for research. So this, what I said, it's all psychology manifestation. And human psychology is unbridled. But still, it operates within certain contexts and certain framework. And there again, rules are there, generalizations are there, predictability is there, therefore there is a big discussion and big discovery and all that, and there is a big body of, growing body of psychology. All due to order. It is order validates. There is validation due to order. If there is no order, there is no validation, no sanity. Sanity comes by validation. And validation it has to come from the infallible, not from the fallible. Because the fallible has to be validated by you, and that your validation of the fallible is always going to be very limited and abridged. And therefore, that person's validation also is taken with a pinch of salt, and therefore, there's nothing sweet about it. So you have to understand this, that when you say Lord has one of the qualities as Vairagya, Bhaga, he has got Vairagya, you mean is in the form of no longing, no personal interest to achieve something from you. He is one of justice, one of nyaya, if that also we can say, in the form of order. Therefore, you get what you deserve, there is nothing, no question. And therefore, Vairagya is total absence of raga. Raga, viragaha, viragasya bhava. Total absence of raga means purna. Fullness, wholeness. Therefore, you can call that the compassion at the emotional level. In your emotional level, that wholeness comes out in the form of compassion in a human mind.
Why, though?
Because this fellow can destroy the whole world, I tell you. See, in form of compassion it comes out because this human being can resolve his smallness by recognizing the connection or the truth, both either connection with Ishvara or this the truth of Ishvara understood as fullness itself, then either way, this person will lose this, will loosen the sense of the insecurity and also the sense of, therefore, the need for grabbing. Greed and these things grow. Therefore, see, everybody is compassion. Everybody has compassion inhibited by greed and the need. And the need to have more because of insecurity, because of background. That's why you find that greed in different, greed is in different degrees in different people, depending upon the background. A safe background for a child will not give you any greed. So it won't be greedy. Maybe ambitious, but not greedy. But the greed comes from purely uncertainty at home and things like that. And so. Survival.
But the absolute vairagya of Ishvara is also the vairagya of the jnani.
Yeah, it's all the same. Jnani to atmaiva memetam.
Thank you, Swamiji.